Let's give these folks a hand, okay? I appreciate our worship team and what they do. And there's a great responsibility that goes with what they do. And to be up here today with having the computer problems we're having and for them to lead us, I really do appreciate that. And all the stuff you see on the screens, it doesn't fall out of heaven. I mean, a lot of work goes into it, and Jeff does that for us. And we begin on Monday, I get my stuff to him, and then, you know, we work on that through the week. And then the worship team, they practice usually every week on Tuesday nights, usually. So they, you know, a lot goes into it, but I do appreciate what they do. Take your Bible, please, and turn to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. Acts 27 is a historical chapter of the shipwreck that Paul was in the book of Acts. Now, we know from the Bible that, according to the book of Corinthians, prior to this event in Paul's life, he had already been in three shipwrecks. And so he knew what it was to be in a shipwreck. But what I want to do is to take this passage today and to preach about how we can really be confident in a storm. You can call it a storm, you can call it a crisis, or whatever you want to do, but there are principles here that help us. And I want to share those principles with you this morning. I don't know what your storm may be, or what it will be in the future, or what your crisis is, or what it is you're going through now, but I can certainly tell you this, there are principles here in this story that can help us. Now, there's a lot of interest in the history of this chapter. Through the years, people have looked at it from a navigation standpoint and a shipping standpoint, and you'd just be amazed how everything here in this story bears out to, you know, what goes on in shipping and navigation in that part of the world today. I mean, it's just amazing how accurate, you know, this story is. And the reason it is because it is the Bible, it is the Word of God, and there's so much here. But what I wanted to do with this story today is to take the practical aspects of it and share with you today, and hopefully this can be a help to all of us. Look at Acts 27 and verse 21 is where I want to begin. But after a long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, "Men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. However, we must run aground on a certain island.' Now, when the 14th night had come, as we were driven up and down in the Adriatic Sea, about midnight the sailors sensed that they were drawing near some land. And they took soundings and found it to be 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little farther, they took soundings again and found it to be 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should be run aground on the rocks, they dropped four anchors and from the stern and prayed for the day to come." I want to talk to you today about some principles from this story. The Bible teaches us that there are three causes of storms. Some storms of life or crises of life that we all go through can be brought on because of our own actions. They can be self-inflicted. In other words, you look at Samson in the Bible, and all the crises in Samson's life that led him to venture where it led him to was brought on because of his own actions. Another cause of a storm or crises in our life is certainly, you know, Jesus can put us in a storm or crises. For example, you take the stilling of the storm on the Sea of Galilee when the disciples were in that storm. Jesus put them in the center of that storm to teach them a lesson. And what they learned from that storm was that He's God, that He's in control. If He can control the storms of life in nature, then certainly only God can do that. And so there are times when the Lord will put us in a crisis to really teach us a lesson. Now, what we learn from this lesson today in this time of crisis certainly is the providence of God, that God is in control, that God knows what's going on, and we need Him. And so that's what the disciples learned on the Sea of Galilee. At the very point of their impending death, drowning on the Sea of Galilee, who shows up? Jesus. At the very point of their need, He shows up, and He calms the storm on the Sea of Galilee. And so He taught them a lesson like He does us many times in our times of crises. And then there's a third reason for crises and storms that we find in the Bible. And that's because of the actions of someone or other people. For example, do you remember when Paul and Silas were thrown into prison? That was a crisis for them. That was a storm for them. But it wasn't because of something they did. It was because of what other people did to them. And I really think that's the most difficult crises and storms for us to deal with, because really we're there because of the actions of other people. It's not because of something we did. It's not because God put us there. But it's because of, you know, maybe something somebody else has done, and we're caught up in the midst of a crisis and storms. And I really think that's probably the most hardest kind of storm to take. In Acts chapter 27, God put the Apostle Paul on a ship. He was put on that ship as a prisoner headed to Rome. And so God has a plan here. There's a big picture here that we'll see in this story. From Acts chapter 19 on, the Bible tells us that Paul had a desire to go to Rome. Over and over again from Acts 19, he expresses his desire to go to Rome. One of the reasons he wanted to go to Rome is because, according to the book of Acts, he wanted to establish Rome as a base for his missionary endeavors into Spain. And so he wanted to go to Spain from Rome. And so what he did was to establish this base, you know, through his missionary journeys. He wanted to go back there. And so God's going to take him back to Rome. But he never thought he'd go there as a prisoner. The Bible tells us in this chapter something very interesting. In chapter 27 and verse 1, you see the word there, "we." And when it was decided that we were going to leave, you see what Festus did, the Roman governor that Paul had appeared before in the previous chapters when Paul was you know, taken to trial. And then he appealed to Caesar in Rome. See, that's why he's going to Rome. He appealed his case to Rome. And so Festus was going to send him to Rome, so he's going to Rome as a prisoner. But here in this chapter, what we see is he took some of his friends with him. Archelaus was one. But another friend that he took with him was the writer of the Gospel of Acts in the Bible, and that was Luke. And so the "we" there refers to Luke. Now that's some of the background, but the reason I'm sharing that is because of this. I want you to see how God works in this story. Now the first point I want to talk about is this. Why is it that we make decisions sometimes that really leads us into setbacks? What causes these setbacks in our life, these poor choices? Well, what happened here in this story was this. The reason they got into the storm is because, first of all, they listened to the wrong people. Now, if you read the whole story, what you find out is that they were at this place called harbor called Fair Havens. And what the Apostle Paul told them was, he said, let's not sail, because if we sail from Fair Havens, if we don't spend the winter here, then what's going to happen is we're going to head into a storm. How did he know that? Well, God told him that. God revealed that to him. He knew that. But the centurion, the Roman centurion who was in charge of all the 276 people who were on this ship, the centurion, the owner of the ship, and the pilot of the ship said, no, what we need to do, we need to sail. They did not want to spend the winter months at Fair Haven. That meant they would have to stay there for at least 4 months. During those winter months, they could not sail. So what happened here was this. And here's another thing that led to this poor choice was that they really got impatient with everything. But they listened to, these people, and so they decided to go against what the Apostle Paul had told them. If you look at verse 9 of Acts 27, now when much time had been spent and sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over, Paul advised them, saying, men, I perceive that this voyage will end in disaster and much loss, not only the cargo and ship, but also our lives. And so Paul is telling them, we shouldn't leave. But they did not listen to Paul. They listened to the advice of others. Folks, I want you to know, we have a Bible. We have God's Word. In the Bible, we find God's advice for us. And what we need to do is not really listen to the opinion of so many people, the experts. Now, that can be helpful. But what we need is the opinion of God. And we need what God's Word says about the situation. So Paul was speaking to them because God had told him, don't sail. And so Paul said, we shouldn't do it. And so they go against the grain of that. They go against the revealed God, the revealed will of God. And any time when we know God's will from the Bible and we go against the revealed will of God, then we're headed for a storm. And so that was one thing. And then the other thing that happened here was that they were relying on circumstance. Now, Paul told them, that they shouldn't go. But then they started looking at the circumstance in verse 13. If you see it there, the Bible said that a south wind blew softly. In other words, the conditions for sailing looked all right. The circumstances looked fine. But what did they do? Rather than listen to Paul, they depended upon circumstances, and then they went right into a storm. So, we need to understand that circumstances do not always give us the revealed will of God. And so that's what happened. They had a setback. They got in this storm because they made poor choices. They listened to the wrong people. They depended on circumstances. See, this right here really is a classic illustration of how not to determine the will of God for your life. I mean, that's a great principle here in this story. Now, the second truth that I want to talk about now is this. What do we need to know about storms? What do we need to know about storms? Here's what we need to know. The storms are no respecter of persons. Just because you're a Christian and just because you are a believer doesn't mean that you're not going to have adverse circumstance. Doesn't mean you're not going to have a crisis. Doesn't mean that you're not going to go into a storm. And so we need to understand that. The storms come to all of us. But what you see here is this storm caused them to drift. Now, according to the maps, if you look up the maps, the Bible maps, and you trace this journey of Apostle Paul, what happened was they started drifting out into the great Mediterranean Sea. the ship that they were on was not built for that. And so they started to drift. So many times what I see in the life of believers is you know, when we get in a storm, we get into crises, we just start to drift. We drift away from our values. We drift away from our, you know, the authority. We drift away from our dependence upon God. We drift away from the value of decency and what's right and so many things like that. I was introduced to a book this week that got my attention, and the title of the book was this, The End of America. I haven't read all that book yet, but it's really got my attention because it really speaks to this point that I'm making right here. And that is this, America is in a crisis. Our nation is in a storm today. And one of the evidences of that is you see the drift. You see the drift away from the values that have made us strong as a nation. You see us drifting away from those biblical and Christian values that we learned in our early childhood. This kindness toward people, a love for God, a dependency upon God, the value of human life. And you see in that culture, in our culture today, you know, those issues like that are hot topic issues, but you know, you drift away from those things. Storms cause us to start throwing away things that we need to hold on to. You see, that's what they did on this ship. When this storm became very great on the sea, on the Mediterranean Sea, they started casting things away and throwing things away. And so, you know, we need to be careful of that. When we get into a crisis or storm in our personal life, we don't need to start throwing away God. We don't need to walk away from God, walk away from our faith. We need to stay, you know, close to God during the storms and crises of life. And then the final thing that they threw away here, and this is the another thing that we need to know about storms, is storms can eventually cause us to give up hope. Look at it here in verse 20. The Bible tells us that now when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, that no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we should save was finally given up. And so now they're to the point of giving up hope. They're to the point of just saying, what's the use? How can we go on? Maybe you're in a storm, you're in a crisis like that, and you think, how in the world can I make it? And so enter the Apostle Paul. God's man had a word for those on that ship. And in our storm, in our crisis, we always find God's word. And we find that God has a word for us in our time of crises. And so what I want to do now is talk about what we should remember. What should we remember when we feel helpless? Well, the Bible tells us that what they did was this. They threw out four anchors. And they prayed for daylight. If you read the story here, the Bible tells us that they had been in this storm for about 14 days. Now, what they're in here, this is not a small storm. This is a hurricane. I mean, they're in a typhoon. And they don't know if they're going to make it or not. And so they threw out these four anchors. They were helpless. I want you to see how God works. He works the same way in our life. When we get to that point of being helpless, who shows up? God does. When I finally admit I can't do it on my own, when I finally admit, God, I need you, when I came to that place in my life, when I became a believer, and I turned my life over to Jesus Christ, it was at that point of helplessness and desperation that He saved me. And so God gets us to that point, to where we understand we cannot do it on our own, we cannot make it on our own. And so what they did was to throw out these anchors. I want to give you three anchors that you can throw out in your storm. Three anchors that will give you stability in your life. No matter what you face in life, no matter what you're going through, these anchors will hold. Number one is the presence of God. Verses 21 through 23, you see it here. Paul's reminding them, you should have listened to me. But verse 23, he said this. He said, there stood by me this night an angel of God. I like this. To whom I belong and whom I serve. Folks, you just need to remember the God that you worship, the God that you love, the God that you believe in is with you. No matter the storm, no matter the crisis, the promise from the Bible is, I will never leave you or forsake you. So that's what they did. They just threw out the anchor and they were praying for the day. They knew that they were close to shore. The Bible tells us that they threw out these sounding instruments. And they had done measurements with these fathoms. And they got the depth of the water. The last one was 15. Now, a measurement of 15 fathoms, when you translate that, that's not where you want to be because you're close to the rocks then. But they couldn't see the rocks because it was night. So they throw out this anchor, and the anchor that we can throw out is the presence of God. The second anchor that we can throw out is the purpose of God. God had a purpose. God had a purpose for Paul being on this ship. God's purpose for Paul was that he would eventually go to Rome and that he would do in Rome what God wanted him to do. So God has a purpose. And so in the storm or crises of life, the way that we can stay calm in a crisis is to know that God has a purpose in this storm or this difficulty. Everybody else here is ready to give up hope. Everybody is panicking. I mean, this crisis has really got them to the place of giving up. But who's calm? The Apostle Paul. He's calm in the midst of this storm because of the presence of God, because of the purpose of God. God has a purpose. And then thirdly, the third anchor is this, is the promise of God. If you flip back to Acts 23 and verse 11, in Acts 23 and 11, God made Paul a promise. And the promise that God made Paul back then, now that's before you get to where we are now in verse 27, in chapter 27. The promise that God made to Paul, you're going to go to Rome. You're going to see Rome. In chapter 28 and verse 16, I want you to see how this promise was fulfilled. In 28 and verse 16, Paul mentions here how that they finally arrived in Rome. So they got there. Verse 16 of chapter 28, now when we came to Rome. So what is that? That is the promise of God being fulfilled. Folks, I want you to know, God has made us a promise. He didn't say the road would be easy. He didn't say the road would not be difficult. He didn't say that you're never going to go through a storm or you're never going to go through a crisis. But He has promised this, that we will make it to the other side. And we're going to get there. And that is the promise of God. That is the security that we find in Him. So you see the anchors here that we're talking about. The presence of God. The purpose of God. The promise of God. Do you see how that gives you stability in life? I mean, you may be at the point of wanting to give up. Don't give up. Have faith and trust in God. You see, the reason that they really got to this place of crises in their life was because they forgot who was in control. And when we forget who's in control, then we do the same thing. We want to give up. I mean, we're at that point of just thinking, how in the world, you know, are things going to come out? And we forget that God is in control. You see, there's a danger here. And the danger in life, many times, is this. Rather than focusing on the God who is in control, we focus on the problem, we focus on the trouble, we focus on the crises, and it's a dangerous thing to do when we focus on that, because what happens is, do you know, like Peter? Peter was walking on the water, remember that? And when he took his eyes off the Lord, he began to sink. Let's not take our eyes off of the Lord during the time of storm, during the time of crises. Here in this chapter, there's just so many principles that we could talk about. But let me summarize this by this sharing these lessons with you. First of all, is this: storms often come when we disobey the will of God. Now, if we disobey God's will, we can expect a storm. Number two, storms really have a way of revealing character. You know whose character is revealed here? The Apostle Paul. If you're in a place of leadership, it could be at work, at home, you have responsibilities, just anything you do to where you have responsibilities, you know where your character is going to be revealed? In a time of crises. When you read the story here, what you see is this, that this Roman centurion, what he wanted to do was to really hear what the Apostle Paul had to say about the situation. He didn't listen to the owner. He didn't listen to the pilot. He didn't listen to the captain of the ship. When they got in this storm, he wanted to hear what the Apostle Paul had to say. You know why? Because he was calm. He was collected. He had his feet, you know, stable. His mind was stable because he believed in God. He was trusting God and he put his faith in God. Another thing that we see here is that even the worst of storms cannot hide the face of God. In the storm, we see God's face. And lastly is this: storms can give us an opportunity to serve others. This was an opportunity for Paul to serve others. There were 276 people aboard that ship. They finally ran the ship aground. And then what they had to do, they had to swim to shore. And they did that, and they all got there, and they all got there safely. And if you read the story, when they got sure, you know what Paul did? Paul fed them all. I mean, they had a meal. And so what Paul was doing is saying, I'm going to, you know, just listen to me. You know, God will take care of you. And that's how he served them. Now let's bring this to a conclusion. We're talking about storm crises that come in life. And, you know, we all deal with that and we all face that. And during our storms, here's what we got to remember. We got to remember the presence of God. We got to remember the purpose of God. And we need to remember the promises of God. That'll give you stability for your life. Let's stand, please, for our invitation. Father, we thank you for this great story from the Bible. And Lord, there's just so many practical lessons that we can learn here from this story. But Lord, today I pray that you'd help us to realize that we have an anchor. And we have a firm foundation. And Lord, I don't know what the storm is or what the crisis is that's represented here in this building today, but you do. Lord, we just thank you for the help that you give us in life. We thank you that no matter what we face, that you promise to be with us. Lord, today we just thank you for your presence. We thank you for your purposes in our life. Because really, that's the ultimate. The ultimate in the storm, the ultimate in the crises is your purpose. What is your purpose? What are you doing? What are you speaking to me about? Lord, that's what we need to know. And then, Lord, we thank you for your promises. We thank you for the promise of heaven. We thank you for the promise of the strength and comfort along the way in the journey that we need. Father, we don't know where the voyage of life will take us. We don't know. Sometimes we may wind up like Paul's shipwreck. We may wind up in a situation where he's in where we just don't know. But God, we thank you that during those times for your promises. All the way from Genesis to Revelation in the Bible, we depend on your promises. Lord, today I pray for this invitation time. I pray today that we'd be open to your will for our lives. In your name we pray. Amen.